Let's start with a word of prayer.
I think they're recording this. I'm not sure. Do you know what time we're supposed to end? Someone let me know. This is going to be very informal. 12 o'clock. Okay. Father, thank you for the Grace Conference. Thank you for everyone here. And just thank you just for the privilege you've given us of studying your word and learning from your word and learning from each other. Direct our discussion here that it would be fruitful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I did was I told Bob that I would be willing to do something like this. And really what I hope is that we just, not so much as me teaching you all, but us having a group discussion. Let me tell you where I'm coming from. When I was getting out of the military, I think this was probably around 2005, somewhere in there. I was at the Grace Conference, and I was thinking, what am I going to do when I get out of the military? And Hodges was still alive. And at that time, it was one of his dreams was to have a free Grace school. And the reason why is, if you look around here, I'm guessing that all four of you are the same way I am. The people who expose you to Free Grace theology probably had some connection to Dallas Seminary. Probably. Or the person who taught you was connected to Dallas Seminary. And it was certainly my case. You know, I met Hodges, I met Glickman, I met Bob through Dallas Seminary and all that. But all that is changing. You know, Zane's gone and it's very hard. So the question was, well, where are the next generation of GES folks going to come from? Where are they going to get their influence? Because, I mean, if you were at the banquet last night and people gave their testimony, did you notice? Oh, this person here discipled me. Well, every one of them had that connection somehow with that. And so Hodges was saying, I forgot exactly how he said it, but he said, if we don't get someplace where we can send the next generation of folks to seminary to get free grace education, we're in trouble. Now, obviously, he believed in the sovereignty of God, and God can do it in the local churches, yes. But just upon all of our experiences, that's where we got it. And so it was a dream back then that maybe GES would start. And I think Bob mentioned it earlier in the conference that we need to have a free grace theology, whether it's on a school. Whether online or something like that. But anyway, based upon that conversation, it just so happened that the Army gave me the GI Bill. And they said, well, if we're going to have a school, we need people with PhDs. So I said, well, I'll go get a PhD because the Army will pay for it. You know, and that's what I did with the idea that we are going to teach free grace people. So because even now, young guys come up to me, and I don't know if they ever come up to you, but they come up to me and they go, I want to go to seminary. Where should I go? And I don't really have a good answer for them. I tell them that, you know. But like, for example, if a guy wants to be a chaplain, say, for example, he has to be accredited.
Rocky Mountain doesn't support GI Bills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when I came up, I could go to Dallas, you know, and that was available. Zane was still there, you know, Glickman was still there, and the older guys were still there, but they're not there anymore. And so, when I graduated, when I got my PhD, Zane had died, and we weren't able to do it with GES. I looked around and I said, okay, what do I do now? You know, they were going to hire me and some other guys like John Niemela to teach at the school. Well, now we don't have it, so what do we do? What do we do? And I was in for a rude awakening. And maybe you're aware of this, maybe you're not, but if you are a free grace guy, it is extremely difficult to get a teaching position anywhere. Because I thought, well, I'll just go to a seminary and I'll just be there and I'll be able to influence them like that. But free grace is considered heretical, and so it's extremely difficult to get a teaching position, pretty much impossible, unless you have some kind of minority status. Seminaries are looking to hire women and African Americans and things like that. Well, you can look at me. I'm not any of those things. So I couldn't do it. So, to my discussion here. What I decided to do was just say, well, I'm just going to teach overseas. And what I said was, what difference does it make if I teach here or teach over there? It doesn't matter. And so that's what I did. And so I started looking at those opportunities. Where can I teach overseas? And the idea was that the folks overseas have even less exposure to free grace theology than people here in the States do. And so I started, and maybe y'all can give me advice. What I did was I just started looking. Well, where can I teach overseas? What can I do? Now, have you noticed the two guys from Costa Rica that are sitting with me? Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. Well, here's what happened. When I was getting my PhD at Dallas, I took one of my professors out to lunch who's open to free grace theology, and he spoke very highly of Zane, and so we went out to lunch, and I said, you know, I'd like to teach overseas. I mean, I'd like to teach, but no one's hiring me. I'll tell you how bad it was. I have told seminaries that I will teach for free. Whoa. So you don't have to pay me, because I have a retirement check from the Army. So you don't have to pay me. They still won't use me. You know, I said, I'll teach for free. You know, and I have gotten a few positions when people got sick. They'll call me at the last minute. Can you do it now? Like, and so I did fill in. So it's very, very difficult for a guy like me, middle-aged, free grace, white male. Very difficult. So I was talking to this professor, and he says, well, you know, I was a missionary for 30 years in the Philippines. And he says, they will hire you right now. Or not hire you. They will let you come over and teach right now. And he goes, in fact, and that's what really got me thinking about it. He goes, overseas, they need people. If you have a PhD, they will use it. And so that's what I did. I contacted the school where he was at in the Philippines, and I went there and I taught Romans. And there were pastors from all over Asia, guys from Vietnam, Korea. I had about 20 in my class, 20, 22 pastors from all over. And they spoke English. They spoke English. Yes, it's... Quezon City, yeah, and so I got to go there, and I used Zane's commentary on Romans, you know, and so here I was, and so I taught, and we did Romans, and it was all free grace. It was, I mean, it had been no different than what I'd say here at the conference, and so so that was my experience, and my experience with them was. They had never heard it. Never heard it. And they said, wow, you know, we've never heard anything like this. We want you to come back. Now, I was told that the Asian culture does that, that they don't want to offend you, so they're going to say that to everybody. So I don't know if they meant it or not. But it was exciting to me in the sense that here were 22 pastors who never would have heard free grace theology if... me or someone else didn't go over and do that. And then, while I was there, well, before I went, a guy that I was working on my PhD program, well, first off, let me back up on the guys in the Philippines. The guys in the Philippines readily accepted that once saved, always saved. They were like, yeah, we're down with that. You know, they came from Baptist backgrounds. But if you would ask them, they would have said, yeah, but if you're really saved, you know, it was very obvious that they had been exposed to lordship salvation, and that's all they had been exposed to. And so when we were going through Romans, and I had them read Zane's commentary, and then I was explaining to them, because Zane's commentary on Romans is very technical, very hard, and so I was explaining to them. They were like, wow, you know, I was pointing out in Romans 6 where it says... but the gift of God is eternal life, but that's not talking about heaven. They were like, what? You know, all of our dads told us this and all this, and so it was all new to them. So it was very exciting to talk to them about it. Well, before I left, a guy I went to Dallas Seminary with who's not free grace, he went to Nepal. And what he did was, he's a single guy. He went to Nepal, and he's going to live there the rest of his life, and he is... the president of a Bible college there. And he asked me if I would come and teach his students in English. They all teach English. And normally they have about 30 in each class. But as you know, that big earthquake hit and devastated the country. I went a little bit after that. And there was a big gas shortage. But even still, there were about 15. Now, the thing about Nepal, and I didn't know this, but Nepal is a very, very poor country. And it's Hindu. And the Christians there are basically all first-generation believers. So they've come straight from Hinduism to Christianity, and they're pastors now, and they're pastoring these churches. So you can imagine they don't have any theological... free grace, I mean, they can read English and they can hear, but they don't have any exposure to it. And they asked if I would come and teach 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So I did. And so I stayed with my friend there in Nepal. And it was amazing to see these people because they didn't have any gas to move around. They had to ride buses. Guys would these buses would have like 50 people. They were on the roofs, you know, and they would come. And while I was there, one of those buses tipped over and 30 people died. I mean, we just can't even believe it. We just can't even understand it. So I went there, and of course I did 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and I didn't have a good commentary on them, so I just had to do it, you know, piecemeal. But every chance I got, it was free grace theology for, you know, 1st Corinthians 3, the judgment seat of Christ. This was all new to them. It's all new to them. And the other thing about it was, they have been heavily exposed to Benny Hinn. So when we were going through and I was doing free grace theology, they would accept, yeah, I see there's going to be a judgment seat. Never heard that before, but yeah, I see that. Rewards are what works are for, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes, I can see that once saved, always saved. There were some of them who were struggling with it. But then when we got to 1 Corinthians 12 with the tongues, they would not accept that. They said, Brother Ken, all of our churches, Benny Hinn is... You know, we just think Benny Hinn is the greatest teacher in the world. And, you know, I guess he's been there to do crusades. I don't know. I'm only telling you that because it just gives you an idea of where you go is different. That was not a problem in the Philippines at all. But boy, in Nepal, they said, if we go to our churches and preach that, they will kick us out of our church. We can teach once saved, always saved, you know, and get away, you know, do that, but... And we can teach the judgment seat of Christ, but if we teach tongues is not for today, you know, they'll kick us out. And I went to a church there that had been destroyed in the earthquake, and they built a tin hut, and that's where they met. And sure enough, I went there, I had a translator. But when the service started, there were some women who got up and spoke in tongues. I mean, I didn't know Nepali, but I knew that they weren't speaking Nepali. They were speaking in tongues. So it just permeates everything. And it just gives us an idea, you know, of what it's like in different areas of the country and how hard it is. And anyway, let me tell you about other than that. I want to know what you all think. Because basically what I'm wanting from you all is just to be thinking about if you hear of opportunities. I will tell you that each place I've gone, and I'll tell you some other places that I've gone. Each place that I've gone, basically, I tell them you don't have to pay me. I don't want any money. But they put me up. You know, they let me live with them. So it's basically once I get there, I eat with them and everything like that. The other place I went was Costa Rica. And I went down there to learn Spanish because I thought that would open up. There's a language school in Costa Rica for missionaries. So I went down there for 4 months. And... I did that because now that Cuba's opening up, and there's seminaries in Mexico and Argentina and Nicaragua and Costa Rica, I said, boy, there's all kinds of opportunities. And I don't mean to brag about it, but I'm like, I tell them, oh, I got a PhD, they'll say, oh, can you come on down? Yeah. So in other words, my point is, all these opportunities are in these other places. In the United States, there's nothing. But there's all these opportunities in these other places. So anyway, I go to Costa Rica, and... I went down there because the language school was there. I didn't have any connections of teaching. But when I was there, I met Alonzo, the guys that are here at the conference with me. Alonzo had a Bible college in Costa Rica. And I learned just enough Spanish to embarrass myself during those 4 months. And he asked if I could come down and teach 2 Peter to his students. And it was a very small college. They had about six or seven. So I went down there and used Zane's commentary on 2 Peter and taught in Spanish. Now, Alonzo was there, so if I said, now, how do you say this? He would tell me the word, you know, and so I didn't do it. I did about 90% of it in Spanish, and we were able to do that. And Alonzo has moved to Nicaragua to do the exact same thing in Nicaragua. So there's a Bible college in Costa Rica now, and there's a Bible college in Nicaragua. And I'm going, I want to go 6 months next year. We may see each other. So go down there, you know, 6 months to one place to become completely fluent in Spanish and to teach. There is a, he's associated with a Bible college in Mexico that I haven't been to yet, but I'm planning on going in September for 2 weeks and offer myself to come down and teach there Greek and everything. The bottom line in all this is I just want to give them free grace in whichever place to go because they haven't heard of it. And when I was in 2 Peter, I gave them Zane's commentary, and they're just the nicest people in the world. And they believed in once saved, always saved, but they never heard of the judgment seat of Christ. They never heard of these things that Zane's talking about in his commentary. And so I gave them the commentary, and some of them can read English, some of them can't. But that's what I'm doing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
For us who don't have a PhD, mm-hmm. have plenty of teaching and experience.
Yeah. Yes, I'm glad you asked that because I forgot this. Absolutely. I'm glad you pointed. Alonzo, for example, he does, when I was there, there was a group from South Carolina, no PhDs, no THMs, nothing, that came down there to help with the youth. And they are more than willing for people to come down because they also do things with young people. They're looking for people, and there's these opportunities. And where he's at in Nicaragua, they are doing these youth things, and they will be more than glad to. And that's the other thing for you all. There's opportunities out there. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say is that if we're able to think outside the box, there are ways that we can do that. Like my daughter is looking at going to be the next time we go to do that kind of thing with the youth, and she doesn't have a THM. She doesn't have a PhD. She's never been to Bible college. But she has enough knowledge, you know, just like you all do, just like we all do, to go down there and teach in these opportunities. And so what I'm finding is if the Lord closes the doors for us here in the States, we ought to be looking for other opportunities to do that.
And this language school that you went to mm-hmm. in San Jose, right?
Yes. San Francisco Dos Rios. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's real close to Iglesia El Lugar.
Yes, like a block.
And so you just showed up there.
Yes.
And that's how you met
Alonzo. And the other guy that's with him, Leonardo, he is the youth leader.
He is.
He's the youth leader.
He's like 16.
He'll be 19.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. So he does the kids from like 12 to 17. Uh-huh. And when I was there, he was doing the little bitty kids. And it's all in Spanish, and it really helped. I mean, it was what I needed to hear. I needed to hear in Spanish, and so I'd sit in with the little kids, and they would. And he was leading it and doing in music, and he's a very talented guy, plays the guitar very well. But he never heard of free grace theology, never heard of it, never heard of it. And I told you, I don't know if you were here, but in my first session I said, they have all MacArthur's books in Spanish because he's got plenty of money. We have the Gospel Under Siege in Spanish, and I gave that out to the students that I taught with down there. And Alonzo is translating. His wife, she does this for a living. She's from Costa Rica, but she is a translator into English. They're translating Zane's book, The Hungry Inherit, for me. So we'll have that to get out. And then we're also doing Absolutely Free. And I'm just doing that to get, you know, to have them to hand out. I went to San Jose to study Spanish.
Oh, right.
That's cool. Okay. But while I was there, yeah.
Okay, but the main purpose was to go study the language.
Yes. Because I knew or I assumed that there would be all these opportunities, and there are.
Yeah.
I mean, Cuba, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Mexico, Argentina. Just out of books. I mean, I could read some and things like that.
How well did you do after 4 months?
I am able to communicate to people, but the problem is that when they're on the street and they start using slang and they start talking fast, they lose me.
Okay.
But if I'm in a church service and I know the context, I probably understand about 85% of it.
Now?
Yeah.
After 4 months.
But I've been keeping up with it. And what I do is in Colombia now is I go, there's some Spanish-speaking churches in my neighborhood. I go on Wednesday night, Friday night, and Sunday nights.
Oh.
And I listen to Spanish TV. And so I'm trying to keep up with it. I'm hoping next year that I'm going to go either to Mexico with that seminary or in Argentina, stay there 6 months, and I'm going to tell them I don't want any English spoken around me. And I'm hoping after those 6 months that I'll be able to...
So by email, you could send me information on the college and the school.
Yes.
Did your wife go with you?
My wife did not go with me. I would do this full time.
I'm only asking because I'm wondering where you two might have stayed while you were in college.
I'll square you away on that.
Okay.
I have twin daughters with cerebral palsy, so we can't move out of the country. But at the school, there is, and this might be something you'd be interested in too, the school puts you up with Costa Rican families. And I had the perfect, matter of fact, I'll give you her name, the perfect situation. For $450, they give you a room, they do your laundry for a month, $450, and all your food.
How far from the school?
A block.
Wow.
That's where I stayed.
Wow.
There was a widow. She's a widow, and her daughter lives with her, and her husband upstairs, and they have a kid, and her daughter teaches English at the university there, so she's completely fluent. The widow knows nothing in English, which is what I wanted. I said, I don't want any English spoken around me and stuff like that. Bottom line, and they have other houses. They put you up, and it's $15 a day for rent and all your food and your laundry. Well, I didn't know because my wife didn't go.
Yeah.
I said, I thought, would you charge it? I didn't know.
Okay.
But it's $15 a day. And when I go to Alonzo, when I went down there and taught Second Peter, I lived with the students. And it was free, except they ate communally the meal. And I said, well, what do I owe you for the meal? He goes, it doesn't matter. So I gave them, I think I gave them $100 per week for my food. I just ate with them or whatever it was.
When you taught that, how long was the course? How long did you have to be? It wasn't a whole semester.
No. Second Peter was just 2 weeks, a week or two. Yeah, something like that.
So you could arrange, you're kind of a special teacher for a two-week session.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's what I did. The bottom line of what I'm just trying to tell you is, I think, again, for me, it was like, man, I got this PhD. I thought I could use it here in the States, but all the doors are just slammed shut. No, we don't want you. Even if it's free, we don't want you, da, da, da. And then you start, now when I ask people, it's like, can you come tomorrow? Overseas. Of course, they don't pay me, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'll give you one other example. I have not gone there because my wife says I can't, but we're in the process of that.
Did you wear a suit the other day?
Yeah, she did, but notice I didn't today. I don't remember how I found out about it, but there's a seminary in the Ukraine. And they are very reformed. And I guarantee you, those guys ain't getting any.
There are many.
Yeah.
There are many seminaries in Ukraine
yeah.
and Russia.
So you,
they're usually Baptist.
Yes, and I contacted this one. The headquarters was in Holland, and so I don't remember how I got in touch with them. So I contacted them, and I said, listen, can I come and teach a class to your students? And I said, I got a PhD, but I need to tell you, I'm not Reformed. I said, I went to Dallas. I'm the old-time dispensationalist. I didn't go into all the details because I said, well, if they want to know more. They emailed me back and said, absolutely, we want you to come. But it was right when the war was going on. Remember when the plane got shot down? And my wife said, you're not going. I said, I need to go.
You can go now. It's
yeah. Well, anyway, the only reason I tell you that story was about that time, the bottom line was I had my first grandchild at that time. I found out my daughter was pregnant, so I emailed him back. I said, I can't come. But I just got an email back from them a week ago. And they said, can you come in March? I only tell you that story just to show you they're begging for me in these other places. And in here, and to me, I see that the direction of the Lord.
Where?
I forgot. They told me, because it meant nothing to me. He told me what it was. They did send me some pictures of the place, and it was really nice. I mean, they said, this is where your room is, and there's a kitchen down the hall. It really looks nice, So I told my wife, I said, they emailed me back, and they want me to come in March. She said, you're still not going. But I need to tell her. I said, Yeah.
So my son was there.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. And close to where all that went on.
Yeah.
And he's fine.
I would love to. Yeah. I would have no problem going, but,
And what are you doing now? You live here in Dallas area?
I live in Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, you do.
And I do work for, I do some work for GES. I do the journal. So if you guys would write a journal article, send it to me and I'll get you published. And I pastor, bivocationally pastor a little church. I don't know if there's a guy, kind of a big guy who sits next to me in there. He's one of our deacons. There's a little bitty country church that I pastor. And the reason I do it is because I'm free to go to these places. It's not a big disruption when I go teach overseas. And we get people to fill in for me when I'm gone. But to answer your question, I do a little work for GES. And basically what I do is the money that the GES pays for the work on the journal is I do it for my travels. That's what I do, you know, and so that's what I do. Sir?
The idea that this is not being taught anymore here or not being focused like it was in Dallas, because I was 73 before I found free grace.
Mm-hmm.
That God didn't want me sitting around all day wondering if I was saved.
Amen.
But I didn't have a term or terminology or anything. Good. This concerns me that we're losing the capacity to dispense this information. And I wanted to ask you, is Dave Anderson not pretty great?
Yeah, he is, and that's one of the, Houston does it, but I'm not as familiar with what they're doing down there as I am. And I'm not sure, for example, again, if a guy wanted to be a chaplain, last I heard they were in the process of getting their, yes, they're working on it. And so there are a few, like, what's the guy's name? Hart. John Hart at Moody, who's free. So there are some guys that have been in place for a while, but my point is a guy like me, who's a middle-aged, I don't have any connections. It's basically impossible for me to get a teaching position in the United States.
Well, I was saying about him. And another thing, now there's a guy named Tebow. Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
He's got a phenomenal organization in the Philippines.
Yes. I'd heard about him. I was not able to get around the Philippines. I didn't have a car or anything. Plus, I didn't know where I was at anyway. I stayed those 6 weeks there in the little compound. Yes, you're right. Now the Philippines is a great place to go.
You might contact him.
Mm-hmm.
In the Ukraine, Jim and Phyllis Meyer have been there for years.
Yes.
They spent the night with us. They came to our church and spent the night with us or spent the weekend with us.
Yeah.
And they are free grace people.
Who are they with?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They just decided, I tell you what he told me, he said, we just decided that we were concerned about that area, mm-hmm. and we went there.
See, that is what I'm finding with the teaching ministry. That in short succession, I went to Costa Rica, Nepal, and the Philippines. And I had, almost 50 students total. And I'm like, this is what I needed to, you know, this is what we need to be doing, you know. Yeah, and so I'm like, okay, it's not the way I thought. I thought I'd get my PhD at Dallas and we'd have a seminary at GES or wherever and I'd just be right here. But I'm like, okay, Lord, you close this door. And I'm just saying, and I'm also finding that there's opportunities for teaching. For example, to go back to your question, there's a seminary next to me called CIU, which is Columbia International University. I went down there and I said, hey, I'll teach for free because I live just about
Columbia Bible College.
Yes. Yeah. And so I went down there and I said, I'll teach here for free. You don't have to pay me anything. I said, even if it's just filling in and,
they would
not even that, but I don't know why. Now, granted, there's only a few slots, but it's the same kind of thing. And so I just said, well, you know, I just need to go somewhere. I'll just go somewhere else. But, I do tutor some of the students in Greek there, you know, so I get to do that. And, but I just enjoy doing that. But I only tell you that because one of the jobs that they offered, was one time I was looking up at the job offers, they said, we need a Bible teacher for the high school seniors. And all you needed was a bachelor's degree. And I don't even think it had to even be in Bible, you know. So I'm just saying those opportunities are out there, but I don't think most people would even consider that. Because I thought about applying for that. You know, I'm like, I'll go do that. Because at Columbia Bible College, they have a high school that's right next to it. I mean, literally, the students eat together and stuff like that. So what I've learned is we can do free grace in ways that maybe we didn't think of before. But I agree with you, sir. That it's a problem. It's a problem here in the States. It is very, very hard.
It's hard to find. This is, you know, God, that just led me to a church.
Sure.
And I found that what they were teaching was what I had thought, but I didn't have the verbiage to go with it.
Sure.
Everywhere else that I went, see, I was looking for a place where they taught the Bible.
Sure.
Not they didn't teach about the Bible, they taught the Bible.
Sure. Well, I will tell you, I've told my wife this many times. I said, you know, we are just so blessed because, you know, if I started seminary today, I don't know where I'd wind up. You know?
There's another good man, Dick Seymour, at Frontier School of the Bible in LaGrange. Dick is very free grace,
yeah.
And I think he holds it, you know, tries to hold them to it,
in other words. Well, I do know that at CIU, Columbia Bible College, they have some people there that went to Florida Bible College. Not the president or anything like that, I'm not sure, but I've been in the cafeteria and I've sat there, oh, we went to Florida Bible College. Went, oh, good. You know, so I'm sure there's there, you know, it's there. But like I said, for me, the bottom line is, I've tried everywhere. I've tried everywhere. I said, you know.
Have you ever come across Emmaus Bible College?
I've seen the name. Seen the name. So.
And two quick questions.
Sure. Well, good. I want, this is for you all, you know.
This is fantastic. Two quick questions. Real quick again, in the fall, I'd like to hear what can happen there, what you did, or, because I've been in the fall twice, goofing off.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And the other is, what's happened to Dallas Seminary? I mean, I'm a double grad from Dallas.
Right.
But I was like way back, mm-hmm. you know, in the late 70s and early 80s. And I don't really even keep up with it. I mean, Swindoll was the president for a while.
Right.
What's, you know, the Grace Awakening? What's happened to Dallas Seminary?
Okay.
So Nepal and Dallas, I'd like to.
Okay. First, Nepal, the easy one. Nepal. A guy that I was working, when I was running my PhD program, the guy that was there, he went to Nepal, and he is the president of the, a Bible Institute there in Kathmandu. And he asked if I could come and teach there. If you come and teach there, you live with him. He has a house there and you live with him downstairs. And he has this Nepali woman that comes in and cooks, and she cooks the food, and I did. I mean, I went from there to the school, and you go there for 2 weeks. He has professors from the U.S. come over, and he asks if you can come over. And again, he pays for everything once you get there.
Yeah.
You live with him, he feeds you, everything. And if you have a THM, that's more than enough. You know, he teach you. They have set courses, and so they said, can you do 1st and 2nd Corinthians?
Oh, wow.
So, and if you say, no, what else you got? They say, well, in May, we got this. So, you know, in June, we got this, whatever the case may be. And I'm going back there in January. I can't remember if I told you. I'm going back in January for 2 weeks.
So if I wrote you, I could get
that. Absolutely. I will send you his name.
I need your email.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. And, now I will tell you, my one scary story in my travels. I don't know, what time is it? I don't want to keep you all.
We've got 12 minutes.
Okay, and then I'll get back to the DTS thing. It's kind of funny. I landed in Nepal, and by the way, well, you know the airport in Nepal. Leaves a lot to be desired. Yeah, you know. And so I landed in Nepal, and it was 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
So I landed in Nepal, and... when I land in Nepal. This is very wide open, so join us whenever you want. Matter of fact, the next question, you know more than I do, so we'll deal with that. But I land in Nepal, and the guy said, okay, it'll take you about 2 hours to get through customs once you get here. So you land at 11:30, I'll come get you at 1:30. And he has a guy who speaks Nepali who's going to come get me. Well, I get there, and the people at the airport want to go home. It's 11:30. I get through in like 15 minutes. So I'm done. And I don't have a way to call him. I don't have a way to do anything, you know. And so I go out, and they have that gas shortage. So there's only like one or two cabs out there. That's it. And I said, oh, I guess I can stay here till 1:30. He'll show up. But then this guy comes up and he goes, you need a cab ride. I said, yeah. I said, but I need to call. He goes, can I had his number. So I call him on this guy's phone and I said, hey, I'm here. And he goes, oh, you're ready already. You know, it's the guy from Nepal. And I said, yeah. I said, can you come get me now? Or I said, I can wait. He goes, oh, no. He says, get a cab and tell him to take you here. He goes, no, let me talk to the guy. So I give the phone back to the guy and he talks to him. And they're talking Nepali, don't have any idea what they're saying. So I go back and forth. So he says, okay, and he gives me the phone. He goes, yeah, ride with this guy, and he will take you where we're going, where you need to go, where I'm at. I said, okay, because the airport is closed down. He couldn't come in. I had to meet him outside the airport. So we get in the cab, and there's two of them. They're in the front seat, and I'm in the back. And we're driving in Kathmandu, and you know how big Kathmandu is? It's pitch black. There's no lights. Place is dark. So we're driving for like 15 or 20 minutes. We're in this capital city and there's no light. You see people on the side of the road, but it's all dark and they're walking. And by now it's like 12:30 at night. And so I asked the cab driver, he spoke some English. I said, why is it so dark? We're out of, why is it, there's no lights or nothing. He goes, we have this gas shortage. I said, okay. So we're driving along and then the phone rings. And he answers it and they start talking Nepali. And then he goes, that's your friend. So I talk to him. He says, yeah, he's going to have you here in about 15 more minutes. So we drive for another 15 minutes in the dark. And we get there, and he's in the dark, and we get out. And he goes, I'm so sorry. I said, why? He said, in Nepal, he goes, cab drivers will pick up people and take them out in the country and rob them and kill them. And he goes, I didn't know this guy's name or number or anything when we first talked. I said, man, that guy could have taken me anywhere, you know. So that was my one, like, wow, I had no idea. I was just sitting in the back. But obviously the guy was an honest guy and everything. But yeah, they said they'll take you out and rob you. It's very common. And so anyway, now your second question. DTS, Bob, you jump in anytime you want here. My experience was mainly with the New Testament department. When Zane left in 86, 87 time frame, basically the New Testament department is not free grace at all, and neither is the Old Testament, you see. Now, and when I was there, you had Zane, you had Glickman, you know, you had these options, even though I didn't know any of these issues back then, they were there, but now it's not. There are a few in the Bible exposition department, Elliot Johnson, and when I was there, the guy from the Philippines that I was telling you about, he was very open to Zane and all that. But as a general rule, it's just not there. I mean,
so except for Elliot, there's no free grace.
Do you know any other?
Nathan Holstein in theology.
Yeah.
He's his head bald and is a systematic theology guy.
See, I didn't have him. I never had him for anything. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the issue.
I don't keep up with it.
I'm
so sad about that.
Yeah. And so that was the issue. And so that's why I try to, you know, what we try to do. And GES gives me the platform for it. And,
where's Craig? Glickman? Yeah.
He's an attorney.
He's an attorney in Dallas.
Is he? Because I've heard he moved up to Whitefish a couple of decades or so.
Well, he does have a place there, I think, but Jack Deere was in Montana. I don't know if it was Whitefish, but he was there for a while. Yeah. Now he's back in Fort Worth.
Yeah, Jack, like what?
Jackie Weenie. But now he's just, Jack. You know.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, that's so sad.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart.
But what this is, I'm just letting y'all know that we at GES are trying. This is like I see this as an outreach of GES, where we've talked in the board meetings about having a school of theology, and this is the things that I'm doing is a weak attempt of trying to do this on a limited scale. Like I said, last year I had about 50 students total that got exposed to free grace theology through 2 Peter and Romans, both in Zane's commentaries, and in 1 and 2 Corinthians. I just taught it by free grace, but I didn't have really a free grace commentary to give them. But a couple things. I want you all to be aware that GES is doing this through me. Number two, encourage you all to think, man, maybe there's opportunities that you can have later in the future or whatever to do it. We talked about that as well.